Today's Mishnayos are Masechtes Demai, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hey, and Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Today's Mishnayos are being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Tzvi Hirsch, Ben Reb Yosef Pinchas Halevi. So we're continuing to discuss the laws of Demai. Specifically, a halacha that we saw in the previous Mishnayos, that is that just like there's a halacha of Demai that says that if a person buys peiros from an Amah Oretz, he has to be choshed that maybe the Amah Oretz did not properly distribute all the maestras that he's supposed to. There's another halacha in Demai that says that a person is not allowed to sell peiros she'enam misukanim, peiros that no one was mafresh chumas u'maestras from yet. Even more so, a person's not allowed to sell demai. So if a person bought demai, for example, he would not be allowed to resell it. That's the halacha. And by the way, this halacha that says that you're not allowed to sell demai is true to all people. You can't sell demai to an Amah Oretz. You even can't sell demai to a chaver. It doesn't matter who you're selling the demai to. There's an iser for a person to sell peiros she'ena misukanim, peiros from which all the necessary chumas and maestras were not given from. Additionally, there's an iser to sell demai. Stating that the previous Mishnah, Perek Beis Mishnah Dalet, said a very big chiddush. The Mishnah said there were certain sellers, certain moichrim, that Chazal never imposed this takana on. They said that if you want to sell peiros demai, you could sell the peiros demai without being mafresh the maestras. Who were these people? So the Mishnah mentioned bakers, and then the Mishnah mentioned wholesalers, meaning people that sell in bulk. People that sell in large quantities, Chazal were makel to, and they said, you do not have to be mafresh the maestras before you sell it. If you want to sell the demai, you're going to be able to sell the demai. So who then has this iser? It's for people that have stores, people that sell in smaller quantities. People that sell in smaller quantities, these are the people that before they sell, they're going to have to be mafresh. The reason is because people that sell in large quantities, their margins are very small. So they're buying for $100 and they're selling for $105. The people that sell in small quantities, their margins are much bigger. So they're buying for $100 and they're selling for $120, $130. Their profits are much greater. Because the profits of the people that sell in small quantities are greater, Chazal said, listen, you're making all this money anyway, so fine, shave off a few dollars, a few shekels from the top, be mafresh the maestros that you're supposed to shave off. However, the people that are selling in large quantities, being that their margins are so small to begin with, so Chazal had a little bit of rachmanis on them. They said the whole takana of demai is all takana. We're going to be a little lenient on you, and we're going to tell you that if you want to sell without being mafresh the maestros, you could sell without being mafresh the maestros. There are, however, two very important caveats that the Rav spoke at in the previous Mishnah that we have to remember. And that is, number one, the only time this is true is if the person is selling to a chaver. But if this store owner, doesn't matter how big or small, is selling to an Amah Oretz, he would always have to be mafresh the maestros. If you're selling to someone that himself is a chaver, you tell him I'm selling demai, he's going to know what to do with it. It's just a question of who's being mafresh the maestro sheini, who's being mafresh the trumas maestro. Am I the one that's doing it? Are you the one that's doing it? Okay, so over here, where my margins are so small, we'll let the buyer do it. But if you're selling it to an Amah Oretz, the Amah Oretz is choshen on demai, and because he's choshen on demai, we're afraid he's not going to do it. And if he's not going to do it, so it's for that reason you have no choice, you're going to have to do it. That's number one. Number two, and this is really obvious, that in the event that you're one of these wholesalers and you're selling now this item without being mafresh demai, the buyer is of course going to have to be mafresh. Meaning, the seller doesn't have to, but the buyer has to. There's no halacha that says that if you are someone that handles in very large quantities, so you don't have to be mafresh and the buyer doesn't have to be mafresh. Someone's going to have to be mafresh. The question is who? Who's the one that's going to have to be mafresh? So again, if you're selling to an Amah Oretz, even the seller would have to be mafresh. And even in the case where the seller doesn't have to be mafresh, but that's pashut, the buyer is going to have to be mafresh. So Mishnah Hay is very much a pirish on Mishnah Dalet. Once we know Mishnah Dalet, Mishnah Hay goes very, very quickly. And really, all Mishnah Hay is going to do, it's going to define what does it mean large quantities and what does it mean small quantities. You would think that what it means is sit down with the person, hear a little bit about his business, and we'll make a determination. You sell a lot at a time, You have small margins, okay. You don't have to be mafresh the demai. Let the buyer be mafresh it. You sell a little bit at a time. You're working on very large margins. So you're the one that should be mafresh. The Mishnah says it's not the way it works. Meir says, if somebody sells an item, that the derech of this item is to sell it in bulk, to sell in large quantities. But you yourself, this particular seller, happened to have sold this item in a small quantity. We say that the small quantity is bottled to the large quantity. Meaning, we don't look the poil at how many items this person sold, but rather, says Rameyer, again, this is a very big chiddush, that what we do is we look at the actual item. Is this an item that is usually sold in bulk? That means even if you sell it in small quantities, you're not going to have to be mafresh tamai. The buyer will have to. If this is something that's usually sold in small quantities, even if you went ahead and you sold it in large quantities, then you won't have to be mafresh tamai. That's the next line. Something that people usually sell in small quantities, and you went, you sold it in large quantities, the large quantity is bottled to the small quantity. The bottom line is, according to Rameh, we don't look at each individual seller. Rather, what do we do? What we do is we look at the item that's being sold. If this is an item that's usually sold gasa, we treat it like gasa. If it's an item that's usually sold daka, we're going to treat it as daka. What does gasa mean? Large quantities. What does daka mean? Small quantities. When it's large quantities, then the buyer is the one that has to be mafresh d'tmai. When it's small quantities, then the seller has to be mafresh d'tmai. It's interesting. Our Mishnah only mentions Ashitas Rameyer, but really this Rameyer is quoted in the Tosefta, also Masechtas d'tmai, and in the Tosefta, Rameyer is a das yachid. The Chachamim argue with Rameyer, and the Chachamim say, no, Rameyer, it's not the way it works. We don't look at the item, but rather we look at the amount. So physically, if you're selling gasa, it's gasa. Physically, if you're selling daka, you're selling daka. So in the Tosefta, we have the rest of the story. It machloik is between Rameyer and the Chachamim, whether we look at the item or we look at the amount you're selling. Another thing worth mentioning is that the Rav, the Bar Tanura, had a completely different girsa in the Mishnah, and based on the Rav's girsa in the Mishnah, the halach in the Mishnah would come out differently. Ayin shach. But we're going to go with the girsa that we have in front of us. The Mishnah continues and says, Ezei mi de gasa, what is the definition of gasa? So we're talking about large quantities, small quantities. I mean, big could be very big, not so big. So what's the definition? B'yavish, if the item that you're selling is a dry item, shleishes kaven, three kaven. Ubalach, if the item that you're selling is lach, it's something that's wet, dinar. So then it's the amount that would cost a dinar. Very straightforward. Rabbi Yosef said another halacha, sali te'inim, if somebody has baskets of figs, sali anovim, baskets of grapes, v'kupay shal yarek, or he has boxes of vegetables, kol zman shehu moichren achsara, if he sells it achsara. So the Rav said, achsara means, loy b'mida, he doesn't measure it, loy b'mishka, he doesn't weigh it, elafia oimin, he just guesses how much is there. So the halach is potter, he's going to be potter, tahavi kamoicha begasa, because he's treated like someone that's selling begasa. People that sell based on an estimate, based on a guesstimate, so these people end up giving up more. They usually give ba'ayin yafa, so the buyer ends up getting the better end of the deal, which impacts the seller negatively. Being that it impacts the seller negatively, Rabbi Yossi Tainit, this is like someone that's Meicha Begasa. And just like someone that's Meicha Begasa, Chazal said, don't worry about the demai, let the buyer deal with it. So if someone sells Be'oimid, Be'achsara, he sells using a guesstimate, being that he's not going to end up making so much money. So it's for that reason we allow the seller to sell without actually being mafresh d'tmai. And by the way, the Rav says, v'ein halachah k'Rav Yosi, we don't paskin like Rav Yosi, hadron halach, the second perek of Masechtas d'tmai. So perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph continues where the first two prakim of Masechtas d'tmai left off, and that is discussing the laws of d'tmai, specifically hakalin shebe d'tmai. So the name of the Masechta was d'tmai. The name of the first parak in the Masechta is Hakalin Shebe d'tmai. Talks about different kulois in the world of d'tmai. And we spoke about this at length in the introduction. We've mentioned it a few times since then. The reason Chazal will make it when it comes to d'tmai is because even though Chazal had observed that the Ami Yaretz were lax when it came to being mafresh trumas and ma'asrim, but at the same time, it was only a minority. Roiv Ami Yaretz ma'asrim. Chazal were chayish l'miyut, and they said we should be concerned that maybe the person you're buying it from is a problem. But really, Roiv Ami Yaretz ma'asrim, and as a result, this is not such a major issue. And because it's not such a major issue, so therefore we find many, many kulois. This Mishnah we're about to learn definitely goes down as one of the biggest kulois in the world of d'mai. This is an often quoted Mishnah in Shas, a very important halacha, not lamaisa today, but very lamaisa once upon a time. Zok de Mishnah, machilin eso aniyim d'mai. A person is allowed to give an oni d'may, an araman, someone that doesn't have a lot, is allowed to eat d'may. It's a very big chiddush. Now we're going to see a very important caveat to this as we go through the Mishnah, so this should not be taken out of context. But for now, if an araman comes knocking on somebody's door and he's hungry and you have d'may, you can give him the d'may. What does it mean you can give him the d'may? You're not allowed to sell payros of an amma aretz. You can't sell d'may. So how could I give it? He's an oni. It's different. What about the oni? Does the oni have to be mafresh meiser? No. When you sold d'may, the halach was the lekech didn't even have to be mafresh meiser. When it comes to, the lekech had to be mafresh meiser. But when it comes to an oni, an araman, not only can I sell it to him, but he himself, when he gets it, doesn't even have to be mafresh d'may. So it says, the Mishnah machilin asaniyim d'may. Veso achsanya d'may. The same is true for the achsanya. So the achsanya, these were the troops. These were people that worked for the Jewish army, the Melech Yisrael, and when they would come around, so it was incumbent upon all the people that lived in the different shtetlach to make sure they took care of them, make sure they supported them. So here too, the same exact chiddush. You're allowed to give the achsanya d'may, and the achsanya himself is allowed to eat the d'may. So the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel, ha'yamaychelos poyel of d'may. Rabbi Gamliel took this a step further. He would pay his workers in d'may. Gabbait stokah. Says the Mishnah Vayter, a gabbai tzedakah. So this is the person, he collects money from all the people in the city, and then he distributes the money to all the aniyas. Bishamay says, noisenas hamu'usar l'sh'enoy ma'asar. So he's going to collect tzedakah. So sometimes people pay in cash. Sometimes people are going to pay in food items, especially once upon a time where there was a barter economy, where it was very normal. Food wasn't just something people ate, it was a currency. It was something that people traded in. So if the gabbai stock is going, he's collecting money. So if he collects payros, some of the payros might be moser, some of the payros might be enim moser, meaning somebody may give payros from where he already was mafresh meiser, that's moser, and somebody might give payros from where he wasn't mafresh meiser, that's enim moser. So Bishamay says like this, you should give the moser, you should give the payros from which meisers were already given, l'she'enei ma'aser, to the amma'aretz who himself is negligent in the world of meiser, v'she'enei ma'aser, and the payros that you took from an amma'aretz, where we assume he didn't give meiser, l'ma'aser, you should give to someone that is ma'aser. Give it to a chaver, right? So the gabbai tzedakah just collected $1,000 worth of payros. 500 of them, he knows, came from a chaver, so maisers were given from it. 500 of them came from an amaretz. He suspects that maybe maiser wasn't given. So the ones that came from the chaver, give to the amaretz. And the ones that came from the amaretz, give to the chaver. And nimtzu, kol adam oichel masukin. Like this, everyone's going to end up getting what they get. The amaretz is eating masukin because he gave him masukin. And the chaver is going to be eating masukin because he's going to be masakin it. But the chachamim say, goivim stam, umechalkin stam. The chachamim say, no, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to start making two different kupois. This is for the payros that Meiser was given from. This is for the payros that Meiser wasn't given from. But rather, you could be goyva all of it together. You could be mechaliki. You could distribute it all together. Va'roitza l'sakin yisakin. And if somebody wants to be mesakin, you could be mesakin. If somebody doesn't want to be mesakin, he doesn't have to be mesakin. It's not going to be an issue. And the truth is, this last line, haroitza l'sakin yisakin, it's a big machloikis rishonim. The Rav and the Rash and the Taisus Yontiv. And this is a very big discussion. We're going to learn pshat the way the Rash learns, not the way the Rav learns. We're going to learn pshat the way the Rash learns. The Rash learns that Chachamim are telling the Tanakh, the Beis Shammai, you're telling me that the gabbai tzedakah has to start figuring out which tzedakah belongs, which tzedakah what Maisa was given from, which tzedakah Maisa wasn't given from. Like this, he should know which one to give the ani, that's an amaretz, which one to give the ani, that's a chaver. It's like this, everybody's going to eat mesukin. Zogin the Chachamim, no, you don't have to worry about it. Why do you have to worry about it? Because we just said the halacha, machilin es aniyim d'may. You're allowed to be meichel and ani d'may. So what are you doing? You're taking the d'may and you're giving it to an ani? You're allowed to give him d'may. So Beis Shammai says, no, you have to stop being very, very careful. The chachamim leivim, goivim stam, just collect, umechalkin stam, distribute it regularly, right? So l'sakin yasakin. Everyone can do whatever they want. Why? Because we're dealing with aniyim. And that was the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah said, machilin es aniyim d'may. So what does Beis Shammai hold? It says machilin es aniyim d'may. So if it says machilin es aniyim d'may, why all of a sudden does the gabbai tzedakah have to be so careful? So the Rav says a very important halacha. And the Rav says that what Beis Shammai holds, and according to a lot of Rishonim, it's also the Shita of the Chacham. Again, we're explaining the Mishnah only according to the Shita Sarash. But the point is, the distinction between Machilin Esandiyim D'mai and what the Gabbai Tzedakah is doing is that Beis Shammai is going to hold that the only time you can give an Ani D'mai is if he comes to your house. If he comes to your house and you're feeding him in your house, you know, sir, would you like to join us for dinner? Then you can give him d'may if he's an ani. You can't eat it. but you could give it to the Yoni. But if you're going to distribute it to him, he's taking it home with him, there it's not okay. And the Rav says, I'll prove to you it's right. Because what does the Mishnah say? You can feed an ani d'mai. You know what it should have said? Mutarin la'aniyim la'chol d'mai. Should have said it. An ani is allowed to eat d'mai. Mishnah never said an ani is allowed to eat d'mai. The Mishnah says, you're allowed to feed an ani d'mai. Oh, you're allowed to feed him d'mai. Very nice. But it doesn't mean he can take it. And that's why Beis Shammai holds that even though machilin is anim d'mai, but when it comes to collecting money, you're gabbite stock and you're going to distribute it. So if you're going to collect payers, so you have to be very careful. He's an ani anyways. If he's not an ani, he has no business taking the tzedakah. It's true he's an ani. And it's true machilin is anim d'mai. But machilin is anim d'mai is only if he's in your house, you can feed him a meal of d'mai. But to give him the d'mai money, have him to run off with it, that's the distinction. That's not okay.